So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
My story is about how my idea of absolute utter failure in life would be to be right here, right now, which is living in Texas. It took me 24 years to get out of Texas, and it took me 8 years to come back. I was born in Alice, Texas. Go Coyotes. And I really couldn't have cared less about the Coyotes because I was busy mapping my path to California. I was moving there after I got out of high school. I was sure of it. It had warmth. It had Hollywood. And that's all I needed. Instead, I went to Austin and I went to UT and actually thought, okay, I could do Austin. I would just hang out and just do college for a long time, go to bars, check out music. But it became clear that if I stayed in Austin, I would become a worker, not a writer, because there were no Latinos on the mastheads of publications in Texas then. Not very many now either. But back then there weren't, and the internet was, this was the 90s, so the internet was basically a glorified Rubik's Cube, and nobody was publishing hardly any porn. So on that note, I moved to Washington, D.C., where they were doing all kinds of interesting things. It was the Clinton years, and everybody my age was running the country, and I was working in radio, and I would come back for holidays, for tamales. Actually, in the reverse order. And I would come back to work on special projects because I wanted to report on Texas. And when my voice would come out on public radio, my parents would call me very excited because they heard me see on the phone, I'm on the radio, and the radio was something different. The radio bridged distance, it bridged time. It connected me way out there with the anchor I had back here. And that was an anchor that I so didn't realize I needed because I needed to go towards success. And that meant just keep going forward, right? So I found the love of my life, and that was New York City. It was everything Alice, Texas is not. It's 8 million people and 10 million lunatics all in one place. It's tons of energy and resilience and loud people, and it never stops. And I was home. And when the Twin Towers were burning outside of my window, I became even more in love with it because everybody came together. It was sort of like San Antonio in that community sense, but big. And then I fell in love with autumn and long walks, and this was the place I had to be. So I moved from radio to print, and I got a job at the Washington Post in the New York Bureau. And when I came back and I told my father, he was in the hospital bed, he cried. And I did too, afterward, but for an entirely different reason. And that was because it was clear there was no way I was coming back now. When he got sicker and I would offer to come back, he would say, what are you gonna do? Work at the grocery store or sell something? Because South Texas has the highest rate, or one of the highest rates of women who earn the minimum wage in the country. So we both knew there was nothing for me to do. I had to stay gone. I had to keep moving. So from out there, I learned how to drive in the snow. I learned how to walk in the snow. Okay, I want you to understand what that means. That is me with no hat, no gloves, no scarf, like a really bad jacket, waddling down the street, trying to get from point A to point B. This is me not knowing how to stay warm, or when somebody says, would you like some tea? And I say, isn't it too cold? Because clearly there's only two types of tea, and that's sweet and unsweetened. And so, you know, I'm just from Alice, you know, y'all? I mean, I thought I was all this, but, you know, the moment came when I figured out I was no longer country bumpkin, was when I could go up to the subway turnstile without like breaking my stride, pull out my Metro card, swipe it, keep going, and not pay attention to anybody around me. This was a huge success. And while I was out there, I studied Arabic, I learned to play, to dance salsa. I had friends from all over, and when a Dominican man heard me speak Spanish, he asked me where I was from, and I said, Texas. And he said, no, that can't be Texas. And he said, where have you traveled? And I told him all the places I had been, and he said, every one of those people you met left their imprint in your voice. And to me, it was like the most amazing passport you could ever have. All these voices. But the one voice you couldn't hear was, I still didn't sound like I was from Texas. But I carried it inside of me. What happened, so to make up for it, was that Texas became a fantasy. Texas was chorizo from San Manuel overnighted to me, because I had to eat right, of course, along with a pack of flour tortillas. Texas was my cactus garden trying to survive New York winters. Texas was nostalgia. It was a care package my dad sent me when it had snowed. And I opened it, and inside were pecans. And I took two of them out, and just like I did when I was a little kid, I cracked them together, and out came springtime. You know that smell? And it's just, it's home. That was Texas. It was a lost lover. And I would carry it inside of me, and I would say, New York was my husband, and Texas was my lover, and I'd go back and forth. I had a polyamorous relationship with my living situation. They both knew. So the problem with that is that one stays in your heart as nostalgia. And nostalgia is not really real. It's a memory. You don't really come back and see it for what it is. It's a distortion. And that's what had happened. And I kept moving forward, and I went to El Salvador, and then I went to Mexico City because I couldn't come back, right? Until one day I walked into the apartment in Mexico City, and it just hit me. And I said, I have to go back. I had no plan. I had nothing. And I came to Austin, and then I came to San Antonio, and I was driving downtown, and I see a man in a lucha libre uniform with spurs all over it, and I said, that's where I belong, with those people. And so I moved, and of course I was convinced that I had torpedoed my career, my writing career. And so I keep going back to New York, and I told a book editor friend of mine, I said, I gotta move back to New York, I think I've really blown it. And he said, you need to stay in Texas, because it's where your writing is best. It's because it's what it means to you. And that's when you write best, is when you write Texas. And in that moment, I realized that it was not where I'd been or who I'd written for or any of that that made I had finally reached success in my mind. It was because I was standing at the perfect intersection of a real past. When I came back and heard doves and saw the landscape and experienced what Tony Hiss, son of Alger Hiss, told me one time is called the Great Span. When you look out and you see what everybody in your family has seen for generations before, and you are part of that narrative. And I took all that and brought it into the present and didn't have to run anywhere to be better or to do more. I owned time. And time is what life is.